Thanks for being with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. I'm going to turn our attention to talking about a guy who I think really embodied the whole spirit of the Wisconsin idea, Bob Gard. I had a chance to visit with Bob a number of times on this program. And this marks the 50th anniversary of a book he wrote. It's called The Arts in the Small Community. Writing about his work with five small Wisconsin communities. And our guest to talk, and Bob has long since passed, but our guest to talk about his work and about what's going on in community arts development is his daughter, Mario Gard-Ewell. She is a community arts development consultant. She's a former associate director of the Colorado Council on the Arts, and she's the co-author of The Arts in the Small Community and editor of a new book that features selected writings on the arts and communities. So what effect do you think the arts have had on your community or on communities in general across Wisconsin? How have the arts made a difference in your life? I hope you'll be part of the conversation. You can call in at 1-800-642-1234. You can send an email to talk@wpr.org, or you can post on our Facebook page. Our Facebook page title, The Larry Mueller Show, and we'd certainly love to hear from you. And Mario Gard-Ewell, welcome to the show. Thank you for taking time to talk with us about it.
Hi, Larry. It's good talking to you again.
It's wonderful. You know, maybe for those who aren't familiar with your dad, Bob Gard, tell us about him.
Oh, where to start? So Bob Gard came to Wisconsin in 1945, and maybe later on we can talk a little bit about the arts, the Wisconsin idea, and how the arts kind of helped embody that. But he came as a result of some work that had previously been done in Wisconsin in the College of Agriculture when Dean Chris Christensen in 1936 hired the first artist in residence any place in the nation. And John Stewart Curry came to Wisconsin. His job was to help anybody anywhere in Wisconsin, especially in the farm in rural Wisconsin, to paint. And this movement caught on so big. People all over Wisconsin were painting, and painting societies were formed in communities. And it worked so well that, in short, my dad, Robert Gard, was hired to do the same thing in literature and creative writing that John Stewart Curry was doing in the visual arts. So he came in 45. His first assignment, really, was to help coordinate the Wisconsin Centennial in 1948. By helping communities all over the state write their community historical pageants in celebration of the centennial. Well, during that time, he conducted a writing workshop for some 4-H leaders in creative writing and heard from them how many people in their areas of the state were writing poetry or trying their hand at writing plays. And Gard thought, well, this completely relates to what I understand the Wisconsin idea to be, which is for the resources of the universities to help people all over the state get an education, develop their talents. And so Gard set out to uncover the writing talent of anybody in Wisconsin. And the Wisconsin, originally it was called the Wisconsin Rural Writers Association, but it became so popular it quickly changed its name to the Regional Writers Association when urban writers wanted in. And this started a wave, a kind of a momentum that carried throughout his career based at the University of Wisconsin until his retirement in 1970.
Yeah, he was an amazing guy. He was a pretty self-effacing kind of guy, but he was out in the community. He went out all over the state.
Absolutely. As a kid, I have to say, we never saw very much of him. He was always, oh gosh, in Shell Lake or Wautoma. Door County was one of his favorite places. And by the way, I just loved listening to Patricia Skulka's interview because it embodies so much of what was going on in the writing movement in Wisconsin 50 years ago.
Absolutely. And speaking of Door County, here's Ashley online from Sister Bay. Ashley, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hey, Larry. How's it going?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind today?
You know, I just love your show, and I wanted to comment on your host, your guest there. I live in Door County, and I just think it's a beautiful thing that we're able to get our arts up here. As far as there's a lot of local artists, musicians, there's so many different kind of talent that it's kind of mind-boggling as far as we already live in a beautiful place and then to embody all this beauty around us with the fine arts that we have. And I just wanted to compliment your guest and your show, and I really hope you guys can keep doing it for years to come.
Well, thank you so much. A comment from you, Mario?
Well, actually, thanks, Ashley. I have a quote here from Gard's book, Grassroots Theater, which was published in 1955, and it is a quote from a lady who attended the writer's workshop that I mentioned in 1948. And he had talked about wondering whether the people of Wisconsin were writing out there. And this is what she said. There must be a great free expression if the people of Wisconsin knew that someone would encourage them to express themselves in any way they chose and to help them when they wanted help. There would be such a rising of creative expression as is yet unheard of in Wisconsin, and it would all be a kind of the theater that we'd had these past 3 days, for the whole expression would be of and about ourselves. And so writing that comes out of a place, just as Ms. Skulka was talking about her mystery series doing, as Jerry Apps is doing in his Link Lake series, Ben Logan, writing that comes out of people's understanding of their communities and of their neighbors. You know, basically, you give people a few tools about tips on writing well and get out of the way and stand back and let that flood of creative expression emerge.
Flood's probably a pretty good descriptor there, because Bob wound up with I don't know how many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of writings from people from across the state.
Oh, absolutely. After his death, my mom had asked me to go through his library, and goodness, I would say that there were 200 books or articles, plays, and all of them were inscribed by the author, and the gist was, if you hadn't encouraged me, if the university hadn't encouraged me, I wouldn't have written this piece. There was another little snippet, again from Grassroots Theater, after the woman in the workshop had said what she did. He sent out a call for anybody from rural Wisconsin who might want to show his stuff, share a play, a poem, get some critique. And here's another quote, which I love. I had a hunch that quite a few people would respond to the rural writer's idea, to the horror of my already overburdened small staff. Over 1,000 poems were sent in just a few days' time. There were short stories, too, and a few plays. The curious thing was that the material, for the most part, was quite above average. So it reinforced his belief that everybody out there has a story to tell, or a dance to make, or a song to compose, and it's a matter of giving people the tools and the space to do it.
And I think, you know, and there was a sort of a snootiness sometimes, I think, that may exist, maybe it still exists, probably does to some extent, about, well, why have rural people write? You know, they're not going to write anything that's worth considering.
I know, and there's throughout Gard's writings, he addresses that in many different ways. But his conviction is that if every man can be given the tools that they need to write or compose, create a dance, whatever it might be, that not only will people find their own talent – and feel personally fulfilled and their own horizons and spiritual life perhaps expanded. But community life will be made better because people who uncover their talents, he believed, are in a better position to contribute to building a stronger, more interesting community. But he also believed that in this whole process, the boundaries of art making would be pushed, that the people would be creating a new kind of theater, a new kind of writing that would be fresh and vital and profoundly American. He linked individual creativity and healthy communities and American democracy and felt that they were inextricable.
Yeah. Lemoyne and Amory, thank you for calling. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's on your mind?
Well, I would just like to say that we're terribly, terribly lonesome for Bob Gard at the local level. Bob Gard met with us face-to-face in development of arts organizations, and now I think we have a tendency to think that we can do that with the Internet or do that online, and there is no substitute for that face-to-face contact and inspiration that we got from people like Bob Gard, and we need that again from the university.
Well, I think I tend to agree with that, Mario.
Yeah, Amory is out in the area that's near Shell Lake, and I was just thinking I worked as a typist for Arts Extension or whatever the department would have been called in 1973. And at that time, one of Gard's and the rest of the artists' big ideas was to create a training center for the very kind of person that Lemoyne was just referring to, the community arts specialist.
You know what? I'm going to stop you right there because we need to take a quick look at the news. But let's pick that up right after this look at the news. Please stay with us here on the Ideas Network. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, talking today about Bob Gard, Robert Gard, and the local arts movements. Bob Gard once wrote, "The seeds of a vital art movement for our time are within ourselves and in terms of our own time and being as individuals and as a nation." And we're visiting about him and about local community art with his daughter, Mario Gard Yule. She's a community arts development consultant, former associate director at the Colorado Council of the Arts. She's a co-author of The Arts in the Small Community, 2006, and editor of a new book that features selected writings from arts and communities. Maybe you participated in Bob Gard's rural arts program. How has your community benefited from rural arts and the programs that they develop from them? We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page title, The Larry Mueller Show. Certainly love to hear from you. And Mario, as we broke for news, we had heard from Lemoyne, who was talking about Bob's ability to get out into the community and face-to-face conversations, and you were commenting on that whole aspect.
Sure. I was just mentioning that since he was calling from Amory, it was kind of interesting. In Shell Lake, which is in the same general part of the state, the Extension Division was planning to have a national training center for community arts specialists, and it was one of the culminating things from the Arts in the Small Community project that you mentioned. And maybe I could just say a few words about it.
Yeah, for sure.
It was 50 years ago, and probably a lot of people don't even know. So, as I mentioned, it really was in the context of the Wisconsin idea, the university and the state working together to serve all of the people of Wisconsin. And so when the National Endowment for the Arts was created in 1965, Gard felt that it would be the most natural thing in the world for the NEA to support people's arts. After all, the NEA was supported by the taxpayers, so that should be a key thrust. So they sent in a proposal, and they is the Office of Community Arts Development at the College of Agriculture on the UW-Madison campus. And the idea was that they would empower people in five very small Wisconsin communities to discover the arts for themselves, to have access to the best touring artists for sure, but also to have opportunities to make art for themselves, and then to create some kind of an appropriate structure that would integrate the arts into their communities throughout the rest of time.
Mm-hmm.
A very big and bold idea. And the five communities were Rhinelander, Waupun, Portage, Spring Green, and Adams Friendship, each chosen for a different reason. And when a history of the National Endowments for the Arts was written, and there was a description of what happened when that proposal came to
it was really interesting.
Oh, my goodness. The proposal comes to the National Council, and on the National Council at that time were luminaries like Agnes DeMille or I.M. Pei, Leonard Bernstein, people of that, artists of that stature, and they thought that proposal was the dumbest thing they had ever seen. They thought that the purpose of the National Endowment for the Arts would be to help support some of the great artistic institutions in America. Well, they were about to vote that proposal down, and Leonard Bernstein came rushing in late to the meeting, and he said, "Have you voted on that rural project yet?" And the chairman said, "Well, no, it's certain to be voted down, but good that you're here to vote for it." And Bernstein said, "Oh, no, I'm not here to vote no. I believe that," he stood up and made an impassioned speech, concluding with, "I believe that this is the reason that there is a National Endowment for the Arts." So the proposal was awarded, and money came to these five small communities for the next 3 years. Gard and his staff was doing everything that they could to help meet the interests and the concerns of the people in these communities using all of the resources of the university and other arts contacts that he had had. So that at the end of the 3 years, amazing things had happened in each of these communities. And in fact, the federal government was so intrigued by what was going on that Lady Bird Johnson was sent to Spring Green to actually attend a play that was written by David Peterson, an artist who was writing musicals about Wisconsin history. And so she attended a show. I mean, the things that happened during that time were extraordinary. And one of the things that came out of it was the Arts in the Small Community book that you mentioned, which is online and free for anyone to read at www.gardfoundation.org. A bunch of research studies came out of it showing that people in those five communities, even over 40 or 50 years, still had a unique interest in the arts. The Shell Lake Project was going to have been one of the other big products. It didn't happen as university policy changed and the university system was reorganized and Extension was reorganized at that time. But it was a gift of the federal government to the people of Wisconsin that kind of was a gift that keeps on giving and is influencing arts development across America still.
Absolutely. And that book, by the way, The Arts in Small Communities, A National Plan, had huge impact across the nation. And frankly, the information in that book is quite relevant today.
It absolutely is. It combines the notion that we were talking about earlier that, you know, as a nation, I think we're rethinking or thinking more deeply about what democracy is all about. We're thinking about what communities are all about in the globalized world that we have. Does face-to-face, just as Lemoyne was mentioning, does that matter anymore? How can we bridge differences that we as peoples have, newcomers, old-timers, people of different ethnic groups, younger people and older people? How can we learn to talk to one another better in the interest of healthier communities? recognizing that for Gard, at least, everything began with an individual who discovers his or her particular talents.
Yeah. Well, we have callers online. Let's take a call from Scott in Osseo next. Hi, Scott. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I just wanted to mention I'm with the Heartbeat Center for Writing Literacy and the Arts up in Osseo, and what an inspiration this show is, and Robert Gard's words are to hear today is amazing for me. I'm on my way to pick up some art that we're going to be exhibiting on Saturday at our Upper Midwest Veterans Expressing Themselves program. And everything that's been said is just truly inspirational. We are working hard to continue that tradition of bringing arts to the rural community. And one of the neat comments that I had had to do with a music program that we were doing in our community a while ago. A musician came up and he said, "Scott, you're trying to bring lasagna to town." And I said, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "Well, every night in our rural communities, we order hamburgers. We have hamburgers for supper." And he said, "You're not going too far out there, but you're calling home and you're saying, honey, tonight we're having lasagna. It's a little bit extra." And that's the way we like to see rural arts up in our neck of the woods.
Oh, Scott, thank you so much for calling. And Mario, I'm sure you have a comment.
Well, I love lasagna. No, I think that's absolutely right. Gard believed that not only did everybody have a talent, but that respecting people meant that they should have the access to the absolute best that society had to offer, whether it was access to the best authors, access to the best touring arts, access to the best lasagna. So it was deeply coupled with respect for the citizen of Wisconsin.
And Scott and others, you may well want to get a copy of To Change the Face and Heart of America. I found the articles that you selected in this book, Mario, and the forward comments as well, to be pretty inspirational.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, Larry. Americans for the Arts is a national service organization supporting the arts throughout the United States. And they have an initiative right now called the New Community Visions, where they're taking a deep look at the role of arts in communities. And among the publications that they've brought out is this one, To Change the Face and Heart of America. What they realized is that we tend not to know who some of our ancestors are in all of this arts development work. And Gard was one of these people who was not only an activist, but he wrote things down. And so over 50 years, we have writings of his that began as a graduate student at Cornell in theater, all the way up to a speech that he made just a month before his death in 1992. And so Americans for the Arts asked me to go through everything that Gard had written, from published things to reports to deans to little fragments that I found scribbled in his handwriting on envelopes in our basement, to poetry, and put it all together and give back to America some of the writings of this person who was really kind of a progenitor of community arts development. So we organized it as, we called it a series of meditations on themes such as democracy, community building, faith, excellence, and so forth. And it's a series of quotes, little stories, little fragments of poetry, as well as direct quotes from the Arts in the Small Community book that are meant to be useful to people as they formulate their philosophy of arts development in the places where they live.
And how do we get copies of that book?
So glad you asked. If you go to the bookstore at Americans for the Arts, the book is $20, and the direct link to that site would be www.americansforthearts, that's all one word, .org/faceandheart.
And we have a link on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, our Facebook page. So you can click there as well and be directed right to it. And I really enjoyed reading it. It was fun. I could almost see Bob sitting across the microphone from me as I was reading some of those works. Well, Betsy in Dodgeville, and then we'll get to Brandon. Betsy, hello. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Well, I want to tell you this is not about me, but I'm going to tell you how Bob Gard touched my life. My family and I moved here in 1971 to Dodgeville, and I started writing a recipe column for the Dodgeville Chronicle, but I wrote some poetry, and Bob came, and you could go up to the courthouse and talk to him about your writing or art or whatever, and he read what I had written, and he said, "Do you know Edna Might?" Mm-hmm. And that changed everything. Edna and I became dear friends. And we, with the Upland Writers, which was very active writing club in Iowa County at that time, and we subsequently put out three volumes of the Upland Readers. Oh. And I also, we managed to begin for the Wisconsin Fellowship of Poets, the Poets Calendar, Wisconsin Poets Calendar, that still goes on. And I even, because of that, all those connections, I also applied for a Wisconsin Arts Board Fellowship in the 70s and received that. And in the 80s, I went back and got a master's in ag journalism, and Larry was my best professor. What a great story. It's not about me. It's what about the whole program, how it touched not only me, but this area of Wisconsin. So thank you.
Oh, thanks, Betsy. Thank you so much. Oy, for calling. A wonderful comment on how, in so many different ways, Bob could help someone, even if it was just a mention of another name. Fantastic. Brandon in Egg Harbor, we turn to you next. Brandon, hello.
Hi. So I just called in to say a little anecdote of mine. So I grew up in Door County, and I was surrounded by a lot of different theaters up here. I was incredibly lucky, and it really opened up theater to me to really find who I was as an artist, and I ended up going to UW Stevens Point for acting. And I came back home the summer after graduating, and I put on a one-man show that I wrote, and I got my friend to help me with it. And if it wasn't for the community support, I wouldn't have had a lot of props. I wouldn't have had a studio to work in. I wouldn't have had a lot of things. So I think I really applaud Gard's work in spreading the arts, not only from the ground up, but also from the top down. And having been at UWSP in my final year, I experienced the frustration that a lot of students had with the budget cuts. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you know about that. So it's just unfortunate that people in our government don't respect humanities and arts the way I think they really should.
Oh, thanks so much for calling. Comment from you, Mario?
Well, as he was talking about his personal experience and his one-man show, that flashed me back to a story that your producer, Jill, suggested I mention, mm-hmm. where I began to see how this passion that Gard had for ensuring that everybody had a voice and opportunity to be creative. But for me, in some ways, it was kind of horrifying in our family life. It went beyond the people of Wisconsin and influenced even my family. So, for example, it was my 9th birthday. I wanted to have a normal birthday party like other kids did, play some good games and so forth, and a few of my friends came over, and my father met us at the door, and he said, "Let's go out to the backyard," where I hoped for a cake and maybe some pin the tail on the donkey or something. And instead, to my horror, he had leaning against three trees, big pieces of cardboard, and one of them said Act 1, another said Act 2, and then Act 3. And he gave me a piece of quartz My mother brought out a box of old clothes. My father said, "All right, kids, your parents will be over in 2 hours to watch the play. The name of the play is The Diamond in the Corn. Go."
A three-act play in 2 hours.
A three-act play in 2 hours at the age of 9. But, you know, the point is, people have it inside them to come up with something creative, and there are opportunities abounding everywhere you look.
Well, I thought, and the play went off.
Well, as I remember it, I lived to tell the tale. I guess it did.
Do you have a copy of your book in front of you? Because I was hoping to get, I would talk you into reading the poem that ends your book.
Sure.
That Bob wrote.
Happy to read it. It inspired me, and actually I know it inspired a number of people to become arts administrators, to become community arts developers, because it's such a great expression of faith in America and what the arts could mean in communities. So this is actually the last page of the Arts in the Small Community book, too. If you try, what may you expect? First, a community welded through art to a new consciousness of self, a new being, perhaps a new appearance, a people proud of achievements which lift them through the creative above the ordinary, a new opportunity for children to find exciting experiences in art and to carry this excitement on throughout their lives, a mixing of peoples and backgrounds through art, a new view of hope for mankind and an elevation of man, not degradation, new values for individual and community life and a sense that here, in our place, we are contributing to the maturity of a great nation. If you try, you can indeed alter the face and the heart of America.
It's so inspiring to hear you read those words, Mario. Where do we go from here? What is your hope?
Oh, man. Well, I have to say I wish GARD were here or could be watching what's happening, and maybe he is. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But what's happened in the 50 years since The Arts in the Small Community was written has been extraordinary in terms of arts development in communities throughout America. I like to think that the book had something to do with it. But now as you look around, you see in communities of any size, art centers or opportunities where people can participate, can learn to write, can try to throw a pot, can try to make a dance. You see creative districts becoming kind of an economic organizing principle in communities as small as a town of 75 here in Colorado or as large as neighborhoods in New York City. You see artists everywhere. People are talking about makers and entrepreneurs as if it was the most natural thing in the world. This is a lingo that wasn't there 50 years ago. I think artists really are playing an increasingly visible part in making our communities economically more vibrant, more interesting places to live, communities finding their sense of self, articulating their history and their place.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Bridging the gap, it's huge.
Mario, it's been a huge pleasure to have you back and to be able to talk with you again. Thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Larry.
It's been a pleasure. Mario GARD Ewell, and she's put out this latest book, To Change the Face and Heart of America. And we have a link on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And if you type in The Arts in Small Communities, A National Plan, that book is also available as well to you. Thanks so much to her, and thank you for listening. Tomorrow, Scott Craven's back to talk about the outdoors and the world of wildlife. In the meantime, hey, it's been a lot of fun. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots more in store on the Ideas Network.